You're listening to the Carl Network. Warning, listening to the creep-off might leave you triggered. This episode may contain murder, rape, laughing at murder and rape, ableism, Lenny Dykstra, serial keeters, smile-talking, fat-shaming, child abuse, drug abuse, pizza abuse, victim-blaming, and the state of Florida.
I'm going to give the people what they want. Sensation, horror, shock.
I'm gonna deliver the goods because I'm alive and I'm not backing down.
Cuckoo, cuckoo.
Guess where you just got into? Cool Guy Zone.
Disgusting, vomit-inducing thing.
Hola, creepos. Welcome to this year's Halloween special. It's another Halloween-centered episode based on all the creeps that are running around causing problems on the spookiest of days. I'm Vinny. I'm your co-host. There's Carl, the other co-host. What a fucking weird opening. Hi, everybody.
What is happening? Vinny Paulino. How you doing today, buddy?
I'm fine.
All right, good.
I'm fine. I'm happy to be here because it's that time of year where I just love. I love it because it cools down. I'm not sweating all fucking day.
Yep.
The leaves are pretty. Everybody's being
all
a creep.
Fat guys can agree on fall is the best season. All fat guys agree on that.
Every one of them.
Yep.
Like the referees during an Eagles Dolphins game, all in agreement, 100%.
Still angry about that game.
Still am.
Wow. But
Carl, today we are going to do what we do every year and bring you the biggest Halloween creep, and I'm excited to do that. But before we do, we have to find out the results of last week's episode.
Correct.
We brought in our creepiest handicapped people. That was brave, huh?
Yes.
And here to tell us who won is our results girl, Jessica.
Hello.
Hey, Jess.
Happy Halloween, everybody.
Happy Halloween. I thought we'd get some heat for creepiest handicapped person, but fortunately, Kevin Brennan's decided to take all the heat for us, so we don't have to worry about that.
Oops. Dude, Kevin Brennan made DMZ this morning.
I know. He's so proud of himself. He's so proud of himself right now. It really is incredible.
Really funny.
Yep.
So last week, Carl, you brought a man who made love to a child forcibly in a Chick-fil-A.
Yes.
And I brought a man who couldn't read, write, speak or hear, who found a way to somehow create transactions with prostitutes that all ended with him murdering them.
Right.
So Jess is here to tell us who won, who's getting the point.
The results.
This was actually a blowout. It was 138-36.
Whoa.
So with 79% of the vote, the winner is once again Carl.
Nice.
Okay. I'm just going to go ahead and say this. I'm fine on this one.
I think that's worth 2 points.
No.
Winning by that much of a margin, I think that's worth at least 2 points.
I'm sure you think that, but I'm going to tell you this. A guy raping a child in a Chick-fil-A is probably going to win every time.
It was pretty
so disturbing. There you go.
All right. So I have a 3-0 lead on Vinny. If I get to 5 points before Vinny gets to 5, he will be spinning the dreaded wheel of consequences.
Now, Carl, I'm trying to figure something out because it is that time. The weather's cooling down. And because I am accountable and I do my consequences, I am starting the planning now. I owe another polar plunge because I lost to Brian Johnson back in the spring.
Okay.
And I'm trying to figure that out now, and I'm going to get that scheduled.
Yeah, bring some type of a camera person with you.
Yeah, I'm not bringing your
I'm
ass.
I'm not going this time.
You're not invited.
Good.
You should wear a GoPro.
I could wear a GoPro. I have one sitting on my desk right there in front of Carl. There's one sitting right there. I'll strap it on my head. And that way you know what I should do, Carl?
What should you do, man?
I should get somebody really jacked and ready to do it anyway and just have them put the GoPro on and like have them look down at their six-pack abs and shit and then like send them out.
And then do an overdub with your voice.
Yeah.
That's a
pretty funny
idea.
It sure is cold out here. Yeah. Oh, just a little toe in the water.
That's a pretty good idea. And then we can Photoshop pictures of you near the water and stuff.
Sure. It'd be just basically the same way you handle your consequences, everything but to do them properly.
How dare you, sir? Oh, listen to this. This is crazy. So last week I played the video of me with my Dolphins jersey at the Bills game.
Yeah.
And in the video, you see that I chuck it over. We were up in the 300 level. I chuck it over to the stands below.
Yeah.
It landed right behind my dad and brother. My dad goes, oh, that was your jersey, Carl? That landed on the woman behind me. What are the chances of that?
What, did the woman keep it? Is she now a Ray Finkel fan?
No, then nobody liked it down there. They're all very upset about it.
Yeah, you're just littering in that stadium at that point.
Yep.
So I guess Carl won this week. Jess, let's talk feedback from last week's episode. What do we have? What do people have to say about it?
Let's bring the praise here, Jess. What are some of the great things people are saying about me?
Please tell us what a great job we did.
Well, actually, someone actually left a comment that was approved for my reading level by Epitomizer One. That this comment has been approved for Justice reading level. Vinny creep, no understands sex work. Carl creep, child sex bad. The fact that the wheelchair was taken as evidence is fucking hysterical. Okay. That was so easy to read. That was so easy.
That's perfect, right, folks. For Jess.
Dumb it down for Jess is what we're learning. Any other comments?
Public West said Code Blue is such a better segment than Who Are These Creeps? And Twitch Moosen said, agree, keep Code Blue Cam and Hall of Shame.
Oh, I have a doozy for us today.
Can't wait.
Oh, boy. We maybe have found the biggest creep in the history of creeps on today's police cam.
You didn't find that video of me being dragged out of that Burger King.
No,
nope,
okay, not good. That one. Good. Saving that one.
Jojo Jones 10 said, Vinny's creep had an IQ of 128, but had no other way of saying the pussy was mid.
You leave your review your way, he left his way.
Yep.
And then Dr. Ted Penis Astronaut said, Vinny Spinny, fix Carl's lighting or spin forever. No more excuses.
How'd I do today, Dr. Ted Penis Astronaut? I think it looks a little better.
Seems all right.
Seems a little bit
better. I didn't
realize
my lighting was an issue on this show.
Well,
I normally skip those comments because there's a lot of them. No, I'm kidding.
What
I was going to say.
What he's asking for.
I know everyone wants
to
see my amazing face lit up. I get it.
No, what he's asking for is for me to turn off all the lights on your side of the studio. He wants your lighting fixed.
I see what you did there, Vinny. How are you feeling this week, Jess? You feeling better?
Yeah, feeling a lot better. Didn't drink as much. Had a Halloween party, but didn't drink a lot.
Okay, good.
Oh, you're getting older now.
Jess shows up to work. Regardless, though, that's what I like about her.
She certainly does.
She's like, they're tearing apart my kitchen. I'll be here. I was throwing up earlier this morning. I'll be here. Nothing gets in her way.
Oh, you are a dynamo. We appreciate you.
Thank you. Kitchen's done, by the way, so no more loud noises. Right.
How'd you do? Is it good?
It looks amazing.
Okay.
I'll post it on my Instagram, I guess. Check it out there.
There you go.
Yep.
My mom's kitchen. Come check it out.
Go ahead and get over to Instagram there.
I know everybody's running right now, but we have more show to do.
Well, maybe next week, Jess, you can read the comments people left on the new kitchen photos on your Instagram.
I'll have to remember because I know I'll forget. I'll
have to incorporate that. Maybe I'll make it a part of Who Are These Socials? About your kitchen.
You're just creating content everywhere, Jess. Yes. All right. Thank you for joining us this week. We'll see you again next week. I think it is time for a contest, Carl.
It sure is. Bye, Jess.
Check out at Jess Daydreaming on social media if you would like to see a kitchen. I don't know.
You know, Vinny, with all the excitement of Halloween, which is tomorrow, we forgot that today is another holiday, Super Chat Monday. And the way we celebrate that is by reading Super Chats. Killian Monson became a new member. Thank you very much, Killian.
Yeah, on your channel.
I appreciate that. Gets all the bonus content. We just had an amazing edition of Easy For You To Say that came out last week. Daniel Adams, $2. Happy Halloween, Vinny, with a Y and KKK, Carla.
Oh, that's weird.
Critical, $5. You don't need to watch Twin Peaks. It is, as the kids say, mid.
Fair enough.
Radish Diff with €2, 160 for both of you. Rust for the overlords. Yay! I think they take more than that. Dang Lizard, €2. Carl, don't talk about your dad's kids.
Don't do it. Don't you do it.
My dad's kids. Would that be my siblings?
I have lots to say about your dad's wife.
Really?
All right, whatever. Let's start the contest. Carl, ring the bell and let's get after it.
All right. So we're doing creepiest Halloweener.
That's it.
And I am bringing a man named William B.J. Lisk. And B.J.'s half-brother.
How'd he get that nickname, Devin, huh?
No, his father is also William Lisk. So he's like a William Lisk Jr., so Bill Jr., so B.J.
Yeah, I know, Carl. Oh, okay. I was going for the joke.
Oh, okay.
This is going to be a long episode. If this is how we're doing
things. I'd explain it to you. Okay. So Devin is the younger brother. He spent the weekend at his dad's house. And the following day, Halloween, he headed home to his mom's house at 9:30 a.m. to change clothes and get ready for church. While getting ready, Devin noticed his 24-year-old stepbrother, BJ, who the family called BJ, was acting uncharacteristically upbeat and talkative, asking him where he was going, how long he was going to be gone. Devin described BJ's typical personality as slow, dark, and gloomy. Church ended around 11:30. He was only home for about 5 minutes, changed his clothes. They had a Halloween party at the house the night before. So he goes to church. He comes back around 11:30, makes a beeline for his bedroom to play video games. Around 1:30 p.m., he goes, there's like no movement in this household. No one's watching TV. No one's doing laundry. Usually someone's making food or something on a Sunday afternoon. This is a Halloween day, 2010. So he decides, you know what? I'm going to get up and see what's going on. He goes into his parents' room and sees that they're still sleeping. And this, he's like, this is weird. They never sleep in like this. Must have been some party last night. So he sees that they have a maroon comforter pulled over their heads and his mom's foot sticking out of the bottom. Devin approaches his mom's side of the bed, tapping her leg and saying, hey, mom, you good? What's going on here?
Can I guess that that blanket used to be white?
Yes, this is when he noticed her pillow was saturated in blood. So Devin initially thought that this was some type of Halloween prank they were playing because, you know, they had the party the night before. Hey, wouldn't it be funny if we pretend we're dead in bed and then Devin finds us? That'd be a hilarious prank, right? So Devin's like, that's probably what's going on. And then he went, nope, these people are dead. So he runs out of the house, calls his aunt. His aunt calls the police. And the police come. So they immediately thought it was BJ. And I'll tell you why in a little bit. There's some reasons why they had a feeling BJ might have been responsible for this.
You know, I got to give Nimrod some credit for this joke.
Yes.
Nothing worse than a gloomy BJ.
That's true. No such thing as a bad BJ, but it's like pizza, right? Even when it's bad.
It's still pizza.
It's still good. So William, the father, had been shot 5 times in the face and head from a range of 1 to 2 feet. He was found lying in a natural sleeping position. So BJ just came in and just took him out 5 shots while he was sleeping.
That's a lot of shots when you're a foot away.
Yeah, I know. You don't need that many. Susan was found sprawled awkwardly in bed. It's suspected that she had been moved. She had been shot 3 times, also at close range. And she'd also been sexually assaulted.
Yikes.
This is a stepmom porn we're talking about here. Devin had ran from the house in such a state of panic, grief, and terror that he hadn't occurred to him to check his brother's room. Derek's bedroom door was found locked from the inside. After police kicked the door in, they found him curled up in bed, back to the door, facing the wall. Unlike Susan and William, Derek's cause of death was blunt force trauma to the head. He had likely died a few minutes after the first strike. A bloody claw hammer was found in the house.
You see, this is the problem with these family annihilators. Mm-hmm. You got a lot of people to get through.
Yeah.
You gotta conserve the bullets.
Well, you don't want to wake everyone up.
Well, yeah, but anything you do here is going to wake everybody up.
I don't think so, because the dad was still sleeping in bed with 5 bullets in him.
Yeah, that's
I got to think he was like the second one to go down.
Yeah, because then he raped the stepmom.
Then he raped the stepmom, yeah, and then killed her and then threw her back
in
bed.
Sure.
All right, so what's going on? Why did all this stuff happen? So BJ did not like his stepmom. And
sounds like he liked her too much.
He began acting out after they were married in 2001. In 2002, when BJ was 16 and already on house arrest for another offense, he threatened to harm himself. And then BJ attacked officers as they arrived at the house, ended up facing assault charges in juvenile court for that. In 2004, BJ forcibly struck Susan in the chest during an argument. 2 months later, Susan filed assault charges after BJ struck her in the head with a coffee cup and stole her car. The assault and battery charges were dropped after BJ was deemed incompetent to stand trial. Also that year, William kicked his 18-year-old son out of the house after he attacked Susan while she was showering.
Okay.
She's in the shower and he goes in there and attacks her. So finally, dad's like, all right, you got to go. This is not working out.
How
for
did
anyone
he end
here.
Up back in the house at that point? Well, when this you're listen.
Yeah, this is what's crazy.
I don't care if you're my kid. You're not allowed to attack my chick in the shower.
Right. Not cool. Not cool. That I feel like that's the bro code you should know about.
I told you the story about my brother and my dad, right?
Remind me.
Well, my father beat the shit out of my brother because he made a pass on one of his girlfriends.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Your brother's something else.
Oh, dude, I think that's why my brother's fucked up. I may have told the story out here before. You I may have told you this.
Yeah.
But the story goes, and this is from my brother. My dad's long dead. But apparently, my dad used to date women who were a lot younger than him, and they would all come over to the house and hang out. My brother's like 17, and there's like these 20-something fucking girls that are banging his father.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in the house, and one of them, I guess he got had the hots for, had the you know, just had
what
the
do you
balls.
Mean one of them, probably all of them. Yeah,
he had the balls, and he made a pass at her, like straight up, like propositioned her. He wouldn't tell me what he said. He says he didn't remember. But the next day, my father was out in the garage. Junior was there, and he goes, "Junior, come out here and help me with something, would you?" And my brother walks into the garage, and apparently the second he walked in, my dad was in there waiting for him with a fucking shovel.
Oh, no.
And fucking ping.
Really hit him in the head with the shovel.
Yeah. Don't fuck with my girlfriends ever again. You understand? And that was that.
You did tell that story. That's a pretty violent attack from your father.
Absolutely. My father was a lunatic.
Did he go to prison for that?
No, he went to prison for other shit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing you never fucked any of your dad's girlfriends.
No, my dad was all fucked up by the time I came around, so it wasn't a problem.
Wow.
Yeah, he was a problem. I showed you those news articles, right? Yeah, my dad was a lunatic.
I think that was when we were in Chicago, right? We were hanging out an extra day.
I don't know. My sister went and did all this research on him and found all these newspaper articles from like the 60s and 70s.
Mm-hmm.
He armed robbery. Hit a woman with his car.
He was the Chad Zubak of that generation.
He might have been. I
it's pretty impressive.
He really might have been. He threatened a judge. That one's my favorite.
Oh, remind me before I leave to tell you about my back and forth with Chad on Twitter yesterday.
Oh, who cares?
I know. Seriously.
Okay, back to your story.
All right.
Don't mess with your father's women. That's the lesson.
By 2007, BJ had been hospitalized with bipolar schizoaffective disorder and eventually transferred to a group home called Sandusky for mental health patients. During his stay at Sandusky, BJ had at least three violent encounters with police, one involving his father, as he arrived to pick him up from the home. Neighbors also suspected that BJ killed and injured several of their pets, including the friend of the family, Mark Gradle's dog, that had been wounded by two 22 caliber bullets. Shooting his neighbor's dog, this guy. He's a problem. Two competency evaluations were done, and BJ was deemed competent to stand trial. Oh, this is what's crazy about this. So he came over for the Halloween party to the house because this guy lives in a halfway house.
Yeah.
And normally they would never let him stay over, but everyone got drunk and they pulled out the couch and they said, "You can crash here. It's fine. We're all having a good time." And so this guy the next day gets up, younger brother goes to church. He takes care of business, kills everyone in the house. Two competency evaluations were done, and BJ was deemed competent to stand trial. During a pretrial hearing on August 12, 2011, BJ pleaded guilty to three counts of aggravated murder in exchange for removal of a potential death penalty. Before his sentencing, BJ apologized for murdering his family and blamed his actions on Satan and his mental illness. Fucking Satan.
Why does anybody keep listening to Satan?
I don't know. He's always got bad ideas, that guy.
He's always tricking everybody, getting him in trouble.
In September of 2011, BJ was sentenced to three sentences of life in prison without the possibility of parole. On March 31st, 2015, BJ was found dead in his cell at the Ross Correctional Institution in Ohio from a self-inflicted wound. This pussy killed almost his entire family, including himself. That's my creep for this week. Go to thecreepoff.com, vote for Carl and BJ Lisk.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was a great presentation, Carl.
Thank you, buddy.
I am now going to introduce
you. You notice how I didn't pull clips from other true crime shows?
It's been the first time you've done that in a while.
Dude, when you look up this guy, every single YouTuber as a true crime show has done a story on this guy.
Really?
Yeah, because it's Halloween. Everyone, you know, everyone has to have their Halloween show.
Sure.
And so they find this.
I found a few videos about my guy, but I didn't really pull anything from those as per usual. I try to keep it to the facts and my own narrative here. But in 1980, Carl.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. I know you're just getting started here. I just want to acknowledge that the Tom Gully of the Tom Gulley Show is here in the chat.
Oh, I love Tom Gulley. Very He's fantastic, talented man. He doesn't do a show anymore, though, I don't think.
I don't know. All right, go ahead. You were, Vinny. I'm the worst.
My creep was a Navy veteran and over-the-road trucker. His name is John Douglas White. In 1980, he's 22 years old, Carl. He is married and living in Battle Creek, Michigan. And he invited his 17-year-old neighbor over to look at the cool race car track that he was building in the basement. You know, toy race car tracks, pretty cool.
Yeah, I
used to radio control
one of those in the 80s. Yeah, it always fly off the thing. I always wanted to go too fast.
This teenage girl was like, "Sure, I'll go. Love to see your toy cars, Mister." And she goes down into the basement with him.
Yeah.
And what she didn't realize, Carl, is that John White had a big old butcher knife hiding behind his back. And the first stab was from behind, right under her right shoulder blade. And then he just kept stabbing and smiling her while looking her in the eyes. She describes it as, she said, "He wiped my mouth off. He kissed me and held my hand and said, 'You're going to go now,' she recalled. He followed that by saying, 'I'm really sorry you have to go like this.' And then he said, 'But what the fuck? You're just a woman anyway.'" He leaves her for dead in his basement. He walks upstairs to go get something. She is not dead, Carl.
Okay.
And she gets the fuck away and runs down the street screaming, bleeding all over the place.
So Podcast Hitman did something right, is what we're saying.
Yes.
Okay.
That this is what could have happened to Podcast Hitman, but it did not. So this woman has been stabbed, left for dead, and he gets arrested, obviously, taken to trial. And at the trial, he apologized and said that, "I don't need prison time. I need emotional and psychiatric help." Now, he also went on to say,
"Nobody needs prison time.
I wouldn't listen to people that tried to tell me that I did have a problem. And I realize that now," he told the judge during this trial.
Yes.
"And it's by the sheer grace of God that the victim is still alive. And I'm thankful for that," he added. The judge only sentenced him to 5 to 10 years and recommended mental health counseling.
Okay.
Now, this is 1980, Carl.
Yeah.
And he decides to appeal that verdict. And the reason he decided to appeal is because his father was paying for his lawyer, and his father refused to pay the $1,000 to get a mental health examination.
Okay.
And because of this, because that was never put into the trial options, this whole thing gets vacated.
Why is it $1,000 to get a mental health
back
evaluation?
Back then, that's what it was.
Really?
Yes.
And sounds excessive.
White had claimed partial amnesia. The defense counsel, he said, was more concerned with the desires of the defendant's father who retained him than with the best interests of his client. The whole thing gets fucking erased. And
she's not dead, so no harm, no foul.
John Douglas White is a free man. He's still married. He has his first kid. And in July 1994, 9 years after all of his probation and everything was up, he quit his job as a long-haul trucker and was working maintenance at a textile company in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Now, one of his coworkers, Vicky Sue Wall, disappears. Now, he's married. He has two kids. Nobody's suspecting him until they find footage at the local Meyer store of her getting into a truck with a bearded man in a truck that looks a lot like his truck. And the rumor started going around the plant that they were having an affair.
Ooh.
Now the police start questioning John White, and he starts being very evasive. First, he says, "I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know her. I hadn't seen her." And then they showed him the video, and he goes, "Oh, well, yeah, I did see her, and yeah, I did meet up with her."
Uh-oh.
Yep.
Always good to change your story when presented with evidence.
The deputies knew it was him, and they didn't have a body. So during this time while they're looking for the body, you know the surest way to make yourself look guilty, Carl?
How
the biggest
that?
Bitch move?
Run away? Hide?
No. Suicide attempt.
Oh, yeah.
Woe is me. I'm so sad this happened. And everybody thinks I did it. I didn't do anything. Meh, woe is me. I'm going to drink these pills and take all these booze, and I'm going to die. And everyone's going to feel bad for me and realize that I'm the victim here.
I feel like you've written this down on a piece of paper before, Vinny. You recited that very eloquently.
It's just what I hate that so much. 6 weeks later, they find the body, Carl.
Okay.
They could not figure out a cause of death because the body was too decomposed.
Jesus.
Yeah. They charge White with open murder, and he refuses to talk to detectives, refuses to take a lie detector test. They have no idea.
Even when they asked him point blank.
What? did you do?
He said, I'm not telling you anything. Now, he says the time the sentencing comes around, he goes, this was all a tragic accident. I didn't mean for this to happen. He played it all up. It was an accident. He gets convicted of manslaughter.
Okay.
8 to 15 years he's charged with.
Okay.
Now, Carl, I told you a lot of information about this guy to tell you this. This time in prison, they start looking into his psychological state. And this is when everybody starts to get really, really panicked and really scared, because what he starts telling the prison psychologists about his fantasies and what he was really fantasizing about in prison and thinking about was murdering the prosecutor, Kerry Klein, and his defense attorney, Kathleen Brickley, so that he could have sex with their dead bodies.
Don't say shit for attention. It's not cute.
That's gross.
The prison psychiatrist had to contact these women and let them know that this guy is fantasizing about murdering them and raping their bodies.
Yeah.
And that's not great. But here is the good news.
Okay, what's the good news?
His mental health further declined because while he was in prison, Carl, he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior.
Okay.
He becomes a Christian, and he decides to turn his life around in prison. And the prison system agreed. They're like, this guy's great. He's doing Bible classes. He's doing all the stuff in jail. And by 2007, 13 years, out again, free.
Nice.
And that leads us to what he got in his final arrest. You see, after he got out of prison and he was such a good guy, he became the pastor of a small church, Carl. What church hires the woman murderer, the guy who stabs a 17-year-old? It's insane to me, but he gets hired by a Church of Christ, and they say he's a reformed criminal. Yes, we love this.
This is a gift for Jesus. Right.
This is a gift for Jesus. He
for sure.
He ends up getting engaged to a woman named Sally Gay.
What happened to his other wife?
Well, they're divorced at this point. They divorced during the second stint.
I was hoping those two kids would work it out.
Well, he meets a new woman, Sally Gay, and she has a beautiful daughter named Rebecca, who's 24.
Wait. What did you say her name was?
Sally Gay.
That's the gayest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
And then she had a daughter named Rebecca Gay, who had a 3-year-old son, who John...
That's the gayest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Sorry.
Who John would babysit all the time.
Okay.
So, by the end of September 2012, John... his mental health was starting to fail again, Carl.
No, wasn't Jesus there for him, though?
No, he was exclusively watching necrophilia porn and fantasizing about corpses, all while sitting in his trailer across from his fiance's trailer, where he would just watch the 24-year-old daughter all day long, Carl. And that's not great.
That's not great.
No. That is not great.
Fantasizing about fucking corpses is not great.
So that leads us to Halloween 2012.
Oh, we are going to talk about Halloween.
Yeah. Halloween morning at 2 a.m. So it's very early in the morning. The tricks and treats haven't started yet, but John had helped himself to, from what I understand, meth and some Coors. And he's just hanging out.
Coors?
Yeah, some Coors.
Let me just say that.
Drugs are bad. You shouldn't do drugs.
And also.
Alcohol is bad. You shouldn't drink alcohol.
So as I said, he walked over to the trailer that was in the same park that he lived in and entered the house, Carl. And he brought with him a rubber mallet.
Mm-hmm.
And he found Rebecca and just...
Jesus Christ!
And just beat her over the head with this fucking mallet till she was unconscious.
Okay.
Then he tightened a zip tie around her neck and strangled her until she was dead.
Okay.
Now he took her into the bedroom, and here is the problem.
Here's the problem, all right.
Yeah, this guy, he's setting himself up for the circumstances of finally being able to fuck the dead body that he wants, and he's gotten everything ready.
Yep.
But when the time came, no boner.
Couldn't get it up, huh?
So he not only is he a necrophiliac, but he's a necrophiliac with performance anxiety and performance issues. So again, he double let down this corpse. Poor Rebecca. So the baby is still there. There's a 3-year-old child in the house while this is all going down. So he babysits this kid all the time. It's now early morning and the kid's got to go about his day. He gets the kid dressed up in his Halloween costume.
Wow.
And takes him over to the father and drops the baby off to the father at a store. And then he goes about his day. Her co-workers at the Goodwill reported her missing. And that's where the search started. And the pastor was picked up by police and taken in for questioning. And investigators tried to appeal to White and told him that Gay's body would deteriorate and decompose in the cold, wet weather. Well, he decided to just confess. And he said, all right, here's where you'll find her body. I took her out. I've been watching porno movies about necrophilia. I was trying to have sex with the body. Couldn't get it up.
He told him everything.
Everything. Because that's what Jesus wanted him to do.
No one would have had to have known he couldn't get it up. You didn't have to tell anyone.
You should have said, I fucked her hard and good and deep. She wished she was alive again. I fucked her so good. He pled guilty to second-degree murder this time, and he was sentenced to 56 to 85 years in prison. However, in August of 2013, like all of these chicken shit cowards, he found a way to kill himself in prison. He was 56 years old at the time. Fuck that guy. That is my creep. Necrophiliac pastor, John Douglas White. Go to thecreepoff.com and vote this week.
We both brought creeps that killed themselves in prison, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
How fun.
Yeah. Did yours try to rape any dead bodies or anything?
No, just a stepmom.
I have a feeling that my guy probably did rape the body of the first one or the second one that he killed.
Oh, yeah? Well, my one raped 5 dead bodies.
No, he didn't.
I have a feeling.
Why didn't you bring it up in the story?
You're making shit up.
I'm not. I'm just saying. I have a feeling. Like, they said the body was so deteriorated, and apparently he was really into necrophilia. Just saying. It makes sense to me. They couldn't find out.
I mean, if he didn't get it up for the younger, hotter chick, I don't think he was going to get it up for that one either.
Not the worst. Not the worst.
All right, Vinny, are you ready for some police cam action? We need a stinger for this.
Could somebody make us? We need a name for this segment. We don't even have a name for it.
You're right. Code Blue Balls.
Ladies and gentlemen, please submit your names for this segment. And if anybody wants to do all the work of the Jingles Department and make a jingle, that'd be great too.
You know what? Before we do that, though, let's celebrate Super Chat Monday on this lovely Halloween week. And Dang Lizard, who supports us a ton. Thank you so much, Dang Lizard. 5 euros. Consider this Codumbo. The father wasn't sleeping after 5 shots.
All right. Not arguing.
Good point. Radish Dip with 5 euros says, okay, 3 5-bucks again. Apple ain't taken from mine. Everyone vote Carl, please. It's Vinny's spin time coming up. What is he talking about, Vinny? What is Radish Dip talking about?
I don't speak European.
I'm not sure, but yes, I agree with that. It is time for Vinny to spin. Dang Wizard, they're 5 euros. So Vinny is building a narrative. His creep might not be a creep at all. Hashtag
I don't know
Vinny
how the fuck you
spinning.
Figure that out.
I agree with you, Dang Lizard. See, what Vinny likes to do is he puts us all to sleep with these stories that go on for decades at a time.
No, I just give the I try to tell a story. You don't. You just go, and then the guy did this and that, this and that, this and that. Here's a clip from something else. Da, 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 he did this. All
right,
go ahead, Vinny.
You're right, Vinny. I'm pretty good at this. Good
that's
point.
Not what I'm saying. I'm
I agree.
Saying
I am awesome at this.
You're worse at this than me. I'm better than
you. Scoreboard, bitch!
Do I have to pull up the all-time scoreboard?
Yeah, you're beating me pretty good. Vinny, Daniel Adams comes in with $2. Little Meth and Coors. Yes, that was a fun detail. I think that Vinny might have made that one up. MPOD with $10 says, creep off stream for my birthday? Oh, you shouldn't have.
Well happy
we
birthday.
Did. Happy birthday, and thanks for sharing in the celebrations with us on the Super Chat Monday. All right, Vinny, I have, and this came in from Jeff Spangler. He said, this is an awesome creep. I'm just going to let you play the video, and I want to see how you react to this guy.
On July 8th, 2022, police responded to a call for a report of a suspicious male wandering around the neighborhood. While en route, dispatch advised that they had been getting calls about the same suspect for weeks. The suspect, later identified as Timothy Nielsen, was looking for a 12-year-old girl who he found online. Uh-oh. Nielsen came across the girl's YouTube channel and would leave inappropriate comments on her channel. That's when her parents decided to take the YouTube page down. Over the years, Nielsen would disguise himself as someone else and contact the girl on her other social media platforms. He would try to contact friends of friends until he was able to locate the area she lived in. That's when Nielsen would travel from Oregon to Ohio to try and find her.
On someone's door trespassing?
Yeah, if you don't have permission to be on their property, absolutely. So why are you going door to door if you're trying to meet some girl from the internet for a date?
I've been after her for 5 years and I haven't heard nothing from her. If I find her one day, that's fine. If not, I can leave. I just want a no answer or a yes answer.
Yeah, well, going door to door isn't going to find
her. What am I going to do? Sit out here waiting for them to pull out of the driveway?
Well, you don't even know where she lives.
I know I do, but I had my cell phone taken away from me. Like, I was sleeping over there by the Walgreens.
Okay.
And in that night, someone took my cell phone from me. So I don't know.
What's your long-term plan here? Because
long-term plan.
We got several complaints about you coming up, knocking on people's doors, soliciting.
That's not right, man.
What the fuck?
I know. This is a pretty incredible start, huh?
I got to tell you guys again, this is the one thing you have to remember when meeting the police. You only get one opportunity for a first impression.
It's very true.
Do not tell him I'm looking for a girl. I've been trying to find her for 5 years.
Yeah.
I'm knocking on doors. This is insane.
Well, how do you even know where this girl lives? Well, I would in my phone, but my phone was stolen. So now I have to go up to everyone's door and ask if this girl lives there. So this guy is looking for his true love. I mean, he obviously saw a YouTube channel 5 years ago, saw this girl and went, oh my gosh, this is the girl for me. Started communicating with her and her friends and her friends of friends.
Oh, God, he's one of those.
In order to track her down. And yeah, we're also going to find out if he found out the mom's phone number, but let's keep it going here.
All right. Saying if I could get a yes or no answer for her, I would leave. You know,
I'm going to venture to say if you haven't found her yet, it's probably a no.
How are you to say that, man? I don't know where address.
Because you don't know where she lives. You don't even know who she is.
Are you?
Watch this now. The dad comes out.
Oregon.
I am from Oregon.
Oh, you got this guy's got. You got to take this guy in.
Why?
He's been harassing my 12-year-old daughter online.
That's how old she is?
Yeah.
That's how
old she is. Little children? My name is Ask Little Children.
Oh, God. This.
Oh, my God.
The FBI is involved in it, so please.
The FBI? You know what?
All right, hey. Stop talking to him. All right, step down here on the street. Get off this property. All right, I'll be with you in a second, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, so there's your answer. This girl you've been talking to is 12 years old. You're obviously an adult, so that conversation.
Forbid them not.
Hey,
forbid them not.
She is 12 years old. That is her parent. He will forbid whatever he chooses.
How is this man not tased?
He is so brazen with this shit. He's like, I'm trying to find my girlfriend who's 12 years old. Her dad won't let me date her. What the hell? This is how Romeo and Juliet went, I'm pretty sure.
Guys, this is the insanity that's out there. We joke about creeps and stuff like that. Keep your fucking children off the internet.
Yes, correct.
Keep your fucking children off the internet.
They do not need little Instagram.
Their little fucking videos are all cutesy and whatever, and their friends like it. There's a lunatic in Oregon showing up at people's fucking houses.
Yes.
Remember that shit, okay?
He drove from Oregon to Ohio to find this girl. And just he knew the neighbors. So he just started knocking on doors. He's been there for weeks trying to track her down. I love that when the cop goes, you can't just knock on everyone's door. It's like, what's this to do? Wait for someone to leave the house and then try to spy on her? Like, no, we're not supposed to do any of this, sir.
Forbid them not.
Oh, yeah.
Forbid
them not. This gets great. All right. My next track. He reveals something about himself he probably shouldn't.
12 is very old. I was looking for a 6-year-old.
All right. That's disturbing.
You know what? Holy and profane. I'm holy.
12 is very old. I actually wanted to fuck a 6-year-old. He met this girl.
Do they still give the cops the billy clubs?
He met this girl online 5 years ago. She's 12 now. So she was 6 or 7 when this went down originally. And he's been trying to find her ever since. All right, let's find out more about what this guy's up to.
Who sent this video?
Jeff Spangler.
Jeff Spangler. Oh, fucking top notch.
That's crazy.
All right, let's see what's up next.
I'm homeless and a truck driver, and I'm
okay. Do you have a truck around here?
I'm waiting to make some money, man.
Okay, how are you gonna make money?
Driving trucks, man.
Okay, do you have a truck down here?
No. When I get some, I'll get some money when I drive some trucks. I've got a Class A license.
Okay, but if you don't have a truck, how are you gonna make some money?
Good questions. Good questions, officer. Not sure what this guy's game plan is.
Well, first I would find love.
You're right. Yes. How are you going to make some money? I'm going to drive trucks. Yeah. Do you have a truck? No.
I'm going to take my new 12-year-old wife on the road with me.
Yep. I think that's what his plan
is. I also like how this guy's doing like a Bill Murray from Caddyshack impression.
There's a 12-year-old online. I got that going for me.
He seems a little slow. All right. Let's find out what his name is. This is my next track here.
Oh, I don't like this.
My name is Az Little Children.
All right. What's your first name?
My name is As Little Children.
As Little Children?
That is my full name.
So your first name is As?
My first name is As.
Okay, is it A-Z-Z?
As in As, become as little children, or you will not enter the kingdom of heaven.
right, as that ass.
That's not making any sense whatsoever.
Become as little children or you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. That's what it is.
Okay.
Become as little children or you will not enter the kingdom of heaven.
So what is your government?
Whatever you think is paying you, whoever you think is paying you, I can pay you more.
Well, you're not paying me.
I can pay you more. If it's money, that's fine.
So what is your...
If it's for diligence, I'm here for my woman. And if she does not want me, I will leave right now forever.
Well, the father has said that you are not wanted, so you should leave forever.
But he's not taking no for an answer. This guy is on a mission. All right. True love. This is true
I am
love, Vinny.
Fucking speechless. And this is the reason I am not a police officer, because it was up to me, this man would be smeared all over this fucking street.
I know.
And I'd already be at the Dunkin' Donuts.
He's very patient with this man, but this is a crazy conversation. Nothing gets you ready for this. So yeah, let's keep it going. He's obviously very religious.
Oh my God. I'm fucking, I have, this is disgusting.
Forsake your sons, forsake your daughters, forsake your wives, forsake children. Do not forsake little children. I'm little children. And if you're an officer of the law, that's it. If you will die for Jesus, if you will die for Jesus, die for Jesus right now. If you want to have me taken in underneath the law, go ahead, because you want to fight for that badge right now. Go ahead. And the one church of Christ who was Muslim and Christian, and we have the living God who has never died.
Okay.
And if you want to be
unfortunate,
whatever, man, whatever. Take.
All right, his spiel didn't go anywhere. I thought he was going to.
Did he think the cop was going to be like, "Oh, I should die for Christ right now"? Hold on.
Yeah. Well, so with this guy, I think what he's doing, and I don't think he knows what he's doing, but I think he's doing is he's trying to start his own church where it's okay to fuck 6-year-old girls.
Huh.
And you get into heaven by doing it, actually.
He wouldn't be the first guy to start that church.
Wouldn't be. Yeah, that's true. He probably could latch on to a church that already exists if that's what he's into. Except for they'd be like, girls? Ew.
That's why the Catholics don't want him.
All right. Well, let's see where this is going.
I don't want to.
Apparently, according to dispatch, we've been dealing with you in this capacity for a couple weeks
now. I will leave forever if that's what's in her heart that says that I do not want this guy. I will leave forever, and that 5 years has been one girl
So would you agree with me that at 12 years old she's not?
I do not agree.
Okay, so well, I'm telling you that you're not to have any type of relationship.
Okay,
you know,
as little children, right? Okay. She's going to be old one day and die.
So,
because I will live forever, and I will kill myself. I will kill myself.
Cool. Great.
Wow, a lot of mixed messages coming out of this guy right now.
Oh, you'll kill yourself? Okay, well.
He wants to know what's in her heart, Vinny. And I just want to explain to him that not a lot of 12-year-old girls are into schizophrenic homeless dudes with no money. But I don't know.
How about truck drivers? Are they like truck drivers?
Good point. Sometimes they like the trucks and they honk their horns. It's very loud and exciting. That's a good point. All right, so let's talk about what he... first off, let's talk more about what God can accomplish.
I like how you have this labeled crazy talk.
With men, things aren't possible. With God, all things are possible. All things.
I understand that. I mean, that's what they say.
And I want to know what's in her heart. Her heart.
Okay. So at 12 years old, if she says, yes,
don't
I'm in love with this.
Don't give me all that stuff, man. I've been with one girl all these years.
I'm trying to understand where you're coming from.
I've gone whoring around with other girls. I've been with one girl this whole year.
Okay. And where's that girl at?
Two girls. All these years. Okay. All these years. I tried to build this church. One church is all that's left. It's because God has never died. He's always living. He's a living God. And he has never died. He escaped that death. When he came back and he was like crying, he said, what you guys doing all sleeping? Let's go. That's God for you. And he drives the biggest ship around here. And they're going to be on the mast for me. Back mask, front mask, my two girls.
Oh, boy. He's starting to lose the plot. So I think what he's talking about when he says his two girls and he's been with one girl, I think it's this girl and her sister, I think, are his two girls. But the one girl is the one that he wants to date.
So if you and I are the cops here, let's say.
Yeah.
We grab this guy, we handcuff him, we let the dad have him, yeah?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Go to town. Put a blanket over his head and have a good old-fashioned blanket party.
Oh, this is awful.
Yeah, so we started to lose the plot a little bit. I'm getting a little bit confused as to what he's referring to here. Now, in my my next clip, we're going to talk about what he wants to do with this girl.
Okay.
I could maybe just take a date with no sex. I'm not looking for sex. Maybe just a date for coffee or something, man. Just to meet her on the phone.
Do you think 12-year-olds drink coffee?
I'll buy her dinner, dude. I don't care.
He wants to take her for coffee. No sex.
I do think that he thinks that, though.
You think so?
I do.
You think she's going to want to go and get some coffee?
Yeah, I think he thinks she wants coffee.
And have a combo. And then he said he'll get her dinner. Well, that's pretty nice. She might want to go for that.
Yeah.
All right. This is where things get real creepy. My next track, we find out how much stalking he's actually doing.
I imagine quite a bit. I'm gonna put money on a lot.
I guess he found out mom's cell phone. I guess he called mom's cell phone a couple weeks ago, and like now he knows where they live. And so like they're petrified.
So there's no way the mom is on the internet in some capacity. This guy's after the mom. Is he?
No, it's definitely the kids. It's definitely the kids. Yeah, I'm fearful for this little girl's safety. Apparently the FBI got involved like 5 years ago, and like apparently this agent. And I mean, I don't have all the details about it. We just talked briefly. But apparently, you know, all the they were involved, said it's a mental situation. But the FBI guy's like, he basically told the family, he goes, he lives in Oregon. I wouldn't worry too much about it. And here he is on their front porch.
Good job, FBI. He doesn't seem like he's a problem. You'll be fine. Don't worry about it. Imagine how creepy this is. This guy found out the mom's cell phone. I like the other cop. He's like, well, he probably wants to fuck the mom, right? He's like, no, definitely not. Not interested in the mom at all. Definitely not the case. So
he didn't say suffer to me, the mothers.
No, he did not. So this guy who's stalking this girl, they had to shut down their YouTube account. They've had problems with this guy. He found out the phone number. He's calling the mom. Now he shows up at their front door. Could you imagine this? That dad looked actually pretty fucking calm.
I'm going to give that dad a lot of credit.
Yeah.
But I'm also going to call him out, because if it were me, I'd be like getting the chainsaw revved up in the garage.
I was shocked at how calm his demeanor was through all of that. Even when the guy started walking towards him, the dad just stood his ground, which is impressive when you see how much of a lunatic this guy is. And
he's not a little guy either. He doesn't look like a small guy.
No, he could probably get some blows, I would imagine.
Yeah.
All right. So listen to my next track here. He will just not take no for an answer.
Nielsen, I told you I would do you one favor. I did speak with the 12-year-old, and I know while you said that you don't care if they're 6 years old, 12 years old, it's what you feel in your heart. She wants nothing to do with you.
No. Do you believe it came from her?
I talked to her. I talked to her specifically.
Do you believe it came from her? She wasn't under distress at all?
Well, no, she's not under duress.
How do you know?
Because I was in the house.
How do you know she's not under duress right now?
Okay.
How do you know she's not under duress? Huh?
Put your hands on your back. We're not going to have you acting up like this.
I love that. He goes, you know, I talked to her. She doesn't like you at all. Oh, yeah. I bet her dad made her say that. I think she's into me. This guy is just not taking no.
I've never actually watched one of these and been this, like, actually uncomfortable, because usually we laugh at drunk women getting arrested for DUIs. This is someone who would hurt a child.
Correct.
This is somebody who would legitimately hurt a
mentally
child.
Mentally disturbed. And so I'm thinking, if I'm this family, I have to move. We have to change our last names and move.
You
to
have
a new
to move.
House.
Unless this guy's like going away for a very long time.
I have some good news. Now, from what we just saw, I don't know that you can put someone away for a long time. And we've talked about many times where people try to kill people and they don't go away for a very long time. But there is a happy ending to this one.
Oh, thank God.
Nielsen was arrested and transported to the Medina County Jail. He was charged with two counts of menacing by stalking and one count of importuning. On December 22, 2022, he was sentenced to 4.5 years in prison, followed by 5 years of post-release control. He will also be required to register as a Tier 1 sex offender.
What does that fucking mean to this guy?
He's going away for almost 5 years.
Yeah, but I mean, what is registering as a sex offender?
I know.
What does any of this do to stop this lunatic from going, you know, my girlfriend's parents got me in here. He's going to tell everyone that he fucking meets over the next 5 years that my girlfriend's dad's a dick.
Right, probably. But when he does get out in 5 years, she's going to be like an adult, so he probably won't be that into her anymore, I would imagine.
Wow, we got to watch out for the next kid. Fuck this guy.
Yeah, is that guy the creepiest creep?
Happy Halloween, everybody.
Yeah, thank
people
you,
like that are out there.
Thanks for sending that in. Speaking of creeps, I did want to brought this up in the beginning. Kevin Brennan making big news right now.
Please.
I was checking out the article in the New York Post today. Comedian Kevin Brennan is sparked disgust by celebrating Friends star Matthew Perry's sudden death, even writing, "I do love it when junkies die." The former Saturday Night Live writer wrote a series of messages soon after news broke of the beloved actor's death on Saturday. All caps, drowned in a hot tub. Ha 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 ha. He initially wrote on X. Asked why is drowning in a hot tub funny, he replied, "Because it's not very deep."
That's the most KB answer to anything I've ever. It's not even deep water.
How do you drown? You can just stick your head up.
Matthew Perry was a freaking idiot.
he said he didn't mock it, talking about the TMZ story. "I just thought it was funny," he said. Okay. So he is getting a lot of fame and publicity out of this. I'm sure a lot of people will be tuned into MLC today.
I betcha he will. I betcha they will. So I don't want to make light of the whole Matthew Perry thing, but here I go. It's time for some voicemails brought to you from our friends in Syracuse.
The Creep Off voicemail segment is brought to you by the city of Syracuse. Syracuse is very sad to learn about the death of Friends star Matthew Perry. Our news team is reporting his last words were, "Could there be any more water in my lungs? See you in Syracuse."
You know, the joke, my wife legitimately took this one hard, and I don't know why.
Well, she's probably a big,
she was a bit, yeah, like she liked Friends a lot. She watched it all the time as a kid. That was her jam. She's very upset. And my buddy Matt Dalbert, do you know Matt? He's in a lot of bands and stuff. He's in a band called Revival. He's great.
Okay.
But he was just making memes all day yesterday of like Matthew Perry in the fountain with all the people like sitting on the couch watching shit like that.
Oh, no.
Yeah. She was none too pleased. So, Carl, we have a suggestion for a game that you all can play at home while watching or listening to the show.
Great.
Take two. All right. I've got a great new game that everyone can play along with while they listen. It's called What Does the Creep Look Like? I started playing this when it was that sixth grade kid that shot his teacher. I hit the nail on the fucking head, especially when it came to what the mom looked like. So as you listen to the crime or whatever, try and picture what you think the creep looks like. You know, was there a trailer park that burned down due to meth? Chances are it's going to be, you know, a trolley-looking fucking white chick, but it's fun. I was going to call it guess the ethnicity, but that sounded a little too racist. Thank you. Fuck you. Bye.
Right under 45 seconds. Good call. Good call. Fun game.
Well, yeah, what a fun game that is.
What a fun game to play at home. Let's see what we got here. And here's some comments on our Scum stream from a few weeks ago.
Hey, I was listening to the Scum stream from the 20th, and you guys were talking about the Kia Hyundai thefts and everything. Yeah, I was in the market for a new car, and then I was like, oh, hey, Hyundais are fucking cheap as shit. Didn't know why. Mm-hmm. And I came to find out you cannot get those things insured right now.
Yep.
Like, nobody's insuring them, and the ones that do charge an arm and a leg. And I also found out that if you already have one, if they don't outright drop you, they jack your premiums way the fuck up. Fucking crazy. That's what I got to Ford. You know what Ford stands for, don't you? Stands for fix it again, Tony.
That's Fiat.
Thank you,
sir.
Fuck you, bye.
That's
fix
Fiat.
Fix it again, Tony. Ford stands for fix it again, Tony. That's a pretty good joke. What does Pontiac stand for, sir? Don't answer that. Do not answer that. So,
if you ever need a reason not to buy a Kia, there you go.
Wow. What a horrible design flaw. They're pretty much the same people who designed the first Death Star. They're like, well, you know, there is this little port right here. And if someone puts a laser in there, the whole thing blows up. But other than that, I think we're going to be safe. Hyundai and Kia are both just like, well, I mean, if you have a USB thumb drive on you, you could steal it pretty easily, but who has one of those?
Turn the ignition on. You could just pop it into the thing and turn the ignition. Were they out of their fucking minds when they designed these cars? Who fucking came up with this?
I think I told you my wife drives a Hyundai, and she had a club from years ago when the club was a thing.
Yeah.
And she doesn't even have one of the Hyundais that you can steal easily.
Yeah.
But people don't know that. People just break into these cars. Yep. So she has a club on her car. Even in our garage, she puts the club on it.
That's so funny.
It's great.
So, Carl, you got any voicemails?
I do. Yeah, I have a couple. Let's check in on this.
Hey, Carl, this is for the Creep Off.
when you started talking about the new way to tell if some chick is hot, I thought for fucking sure you were going to bring up, you were going to bring up mouth capacity. That's for your friend, Drew Lane. Love the show. See you.
Now that's the Drew and Mike show talks about mouth capacity on women.
Yeah.
You know, how many dicks could their mouths hold? And I think Taylor Swift has got to be up there.
She could hold both Kelsey's penises in her mouth.
Both brothers. I see what you did there.
Carl, I have a voicemail of someone calling me an idiot, and I am. So great. That's fair enough.
Let's do it.
Podcast profit again. First of the tables are rarity where I could find two fucking moronic fat tongue steaks, triple pass Paulino made in a week. So the chick you're talking about from The Sopranos who has an OnlyFans, or the fuck her name is, you said, she was married to Shooter Jennings' kid. So she's dating her own kid? Because I think you meant to say was she was married to Shooter Jennings. Shooter, yes. Jennings being the son of famous country singer Waylon.
Yes, Waylon. She was married to Waylon's kid, Shooter. She wasn't married to Shooter's kid, her own child. Drea DiMatteo, I get it. I'm stupid.
I appreciate you people calling in to correct Vinny on
things
dumb
that actually matter.
Well, you could get to the point a little quicker than that next time.
Yeah. All right. I'm done with voicemails.
I have one more.
All right.
Hey, Carl. This is for the creep off, by the way. I would like to nominate Bill Fat Fuck Elmore as the next creep for the creep off, because only a creep calls to get someone's gig canceled because they didn't like what they were doing or saying in real life. That is a creep.
Should we do creepiest person the Dabbleverse one of these days?
Listen, dude, I'm going to avoid discussing Phil. I'm going to avoid discussing John because I had such a good weekend not thinking about those people.
good
that call. Just hearing that again just now just makes you go, ugh, my fucking soul hurts.
Mm-hmm.
But Phil's got some questions that need answering, according to Reddit. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff out there about Phil maybe. I mean, if anybody could prove any of this stuff, maybe we got a creep
for the
there.
First time ever, Reddit found someone they don't like that much.
It's unbelievable. It's crazy. Everybody on Reddit, you know, I do subreddit surfing. It's always a good time, but
right.
Terrible time. All right, Carl, I think that means it's time for a scum parade. Are you ready for it?
Yes.
Scum parade, take me on a raid of these fuck charades that these creeps have made. Scum parade, Vinny and Carl gonna tell you about some fuck shit. Scum parade, like stories of a kid fucked by his mom or dad, soaking up the blood of a cat. Scum parade.
Carl, let's start today down in Washington, D.C. What do you say?
Let's do it.
A D.C. firefighter who, with his partner, stopped for fast food while on an emergency call in March had been fired.
Now, not just any fast food, Vinny. There's a certain fast food chain that maybe it's okay to be late to an emergency.
Well, on March 24th at around 4 p.m. in the afternoon, the two firefighters EMTs assigned to Ambulance 3 decided to stop at a Chick-fil-A. Well, they're on a call for a woman who is suffering chest pains.
I have to say, this is the best ad for Chick-fil-A ever. They should get these firefighters to be the spokespeople. And like, I can see the whole ad campaign. There's buildings burning down. There's kittens and trees. There's mass chaos. And these two are just sitting in the drive-thru. They got the whole fire truck and they're in the drive-thru for Chick-fil-A. They're like, everything else can wait. Chick-fil-A chicken sandwiches.
It just said chest pains. There's nothing sticking into her chest or sticking out of
her
chest.
Or maybe there was. We don't know. Yeah. Doesn't matter. Chick-fil-A sandwiches are too delicious to wait.
They said that they had already ordered their food on an app when the emergency call came in, so they decided to stop literally for a few minutes.
It's going to take a minute. We'll just grab our sandwiches. Then we'll be right there.
So
do people have to pull over in the drive-thru line if you put your lights on?
Everybody has to move out of the way. Yeah. You get to go pick up your food first if you have your lights. But nobody bought any of this shit. They think they just stopped there. But Sources familiar with the investigation said the reason the ambulance number three was assigned to that call is because it was the closest medical unit to the emergency.
Right.
But yet they still went out of their way to go to the Chick-fil-A and then rerouted back to the emergency room. And this is all picked up because all these things have GPS trackers on them.
Yeah.
And when they're tracking this, trying to figure out how close help is to the scene, and they're seeing you at the fucking Chick-fil-A, you're going to get caught, dipshit.
What ethnicity are the firemen who are playing that new game already?
That's not an ethnicity.
That's not an ethnicity.
How dare you?
At all, sir.
All right. So those two are fired, and rightfully so.
You really think so? I thought you were going to have their side on this one.
For Chick-fil-A?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. You know what? No. I honestly have never had Chick-fil-A.
Here's the thing about Chick-fil-A. It's a fine sandwich.
People love it.
It's a fine sandwich.
When they first opened them, and I think even to this day, there's lines that are like going blocks long to get into these places.
But you know what, though, dude? No chicken sandwich is going to stop me from saving a life, Carl.
Okay.
There's plenty of pizzas that'll stop me.
I love it. But no chicken sandwich. Face, but that's such bullshit, and you know it.
Before we get
to the next story, I think we have some super chats.
All right. Let's hit some of those up.
Let's get caught up real quick. Because we do appreciate the support from everybody. It'd be after the $10 birthday chat.
Guys. Here we go. New member.
Love the crew so much. Thank you, guys. Yes, Kenneth Polk, thank you for becoming a member. We appreciate that.
Not one Oregon drop. You're right. And I have had the hardest time finding that drop.
How do we not have that drop anymore?
I looked on the old computer. I looked on this computer. I will track it down, everybody. You'll see. Dang Lizard, thanks for the €2. At least Creep John didn't stutter, or did he? Who knows? Why? John. Fucking John. All right. Daniel Adams, $2. Binging show from start at The Bachelor now. You got plenty more to go, Daniel.
Oh, wow. I forgot about that. Yes, that was
Creeps
fun.
And Roses.
That was a lot of fun.
Interesting fact we just learned about Matthew Perry's death from Nimrob71. It was actually Tommy Lee's hot tub.
Wow. What are the chances?
Things
of that?
A fucking death trap. Thanks for the $2. And Koof, also thank you for the $2. Thank you all for not killing yourselves.
Thank you for not killing yourself, Koof. We appreciate that. And then Radish Diff with another €2 says, "Oi, rename my jingle for Bill and annoy him instead."
Don't know what that means.
Wait,
thank you, though.
Hold on a second. Radish Diff. Does Radish Diff have a jingle on here? I think maybe not.
Disgusting, vomit-inducing thing.
I hit the wrong button, sorry.
I thought Radish Diff had his own jingle, but now I'm not seeing it.
So hey, do me a favor and post.
Cut that part out.
All right. All right, let's keep moving, shall we? A married Washington State man has been busted for soliciting prostitution, Carl.
Okay.
And Jad Shipman, he's 48 years old. He ran afoul of the law for allegedly offering an online escort $440 to come to his Longview, Washington home.
I don't see anything wrong with that. I think that's fine.
I think so, too. We're libertarians in that regard.
Right.
Sex work is work, apparently.
Sure.
And the reason he's in trouble, though, is because the reason that he was inviting them over for $440 was to have sexual contact with him and his miniature horse.
Well, at least he didn't lowball it. You know, it'd be insulting if he only offered $100 for that. $440 seems reasonable.
Yeah. Here's some of the quotes from the conversation. "I want to watch a gal eat out the miniature horse that I have while sitting on my member," he allegedly wrote to the woman in twisted messages she later shared with the Vice Squad detectives. I have a feeling that this girl was probably picked up for prostitution, and she was like trying to make a deal. She's like, "I got a guy who's fucking a horse."
Yeah.
Here, they'll show you the DMs.
So this guy's fantasy is that someone else has to go down on his horse?
Well, he's fucking them, yeah.
You go down on your fucking horse. No
go
one
down
wants
on
to,
your own horse,
No
pal.
One wants to suck on your horse's, whatever that thing is that a horse has. Nobody wants to put their mouth on it.
I love the rest of the quotes on this thing. "Last two gals I asked said it was noticeably outside their comfort zone," he wrote.
It is. Stop asking.
He appeared eager and giddy during the exchange. Now, he contacted the woman identified as Diane through a TNA board, which was used for prostitution and other commercial sex purposes. Bellevue cops said Shipman used the site under the name The Malamute, a breed of dog known for its strength and size. Now, when the Bellevue Vice Squad called on Shipman's home, they found two miniature horses in the fields, which the accused fetish's wife, Diane, confirmed were both theirs. During an interview, Shipman admits to being on the TNA board user, the Malamute, and soliciting Diane to, quote, eat out or lick on his miniature horse's private parts. He also admitted to having prior sexual contact with the animal. So he told investigators he chose Diane because she posted under the fetish section and that she hoped that she'd be more agreeable. And he's been arrested on October 17th, and he is booked into the county jail on a charge of first degree attempted animal cruelty and one count of patronizing a prostitute. He was released on $1,000 bail.
Hey, Jed,
stop it.
I like how this story ended. He was ordered not to stir up any more trouble by having any contact with the animals as he awaits his initial hearing. Come on. Come on. That was just cute.
Fucking creep.
Yeah, I know.
What a weirdo.
I mean, could you imagine being like the prostitute, just any prostitute who's working these message boards? Like, basically, this thing sounds like it's fucking Craigslist.
Right.
You got to see some shit.
Yeah. Actually, that might be a fun thing to read. If we can get
should we put out fake hooker ads?
Sure.
See what we'll probably get arrested or something. Who knows? Well, let's talk about some creepy cops, shall we, Carl?
Oh, real quick, though, since you brought that up, this idea that we could put out fake ads and get people to respond to them reminded me of your favorite pedo hunter who had an incident with Hillary Clinton.
He did.
Yeah.
He certainly did.
Did you want to, I don't know if we were saving that for a bonus show or something.
I don't have the video here, but okay. I will tell you that Alex Rosen, also known as Gordon Flowers, a guy who we kind of had some harsh words for the last time we watched one of his videos.
I don't care for his approach personally. I think he's
there's so many things that he's done really, really well. And then there's other times where you watch him and you go, what the fuck is this? Why are you doing it this way? It's maddening because you want to support somebody. But he went to a Hillary Clinton rally and started screaming, why did your husband go to Epstein Island 36 times?
Which is a great question. And all the crowd got upset and were booing him. Like, no, answer the question. What was Bill doing on Epstein Island? What's going on?
The fact that nobody has straight up asked him about this should tell you all you need to know.
Right.
And during this thing, I guess Gordon drops to the floor. They try to drag him out and they basically rip the shirt off of his fucking body. And I watched a video today of him talking to the Secret Service after. And they're like, we need some more information from you. And he's like, fuck you, no. And he walked away and they didn't pursue him. They threw him out of the place and let him go.
Yeah, but you're allowed to ask a question to somebody.
I'll tell you what, though. I feel bad for Gordon because he looked really sad and down and sullen. Yeah, after.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I'm worried he's a little depressed.
Oh, yeah?
I hope he doesn't do anything too serious or rash. I hope you get over it and you can move on with your life.
I'm sure he's fine.
You get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about these creepy cops now, shall we?
Okay.
A colleague at their local police station took their own life. A junior officer sent a message of support to a husband and wife team of officers who he worked with to share their condolences. Now, this happened in Sydney, Australia. The death rocked a regional Victorian station, and the couple planned an evening of drinks to commemorate their fallen friend, inviting the junior officer and her partner, who was also an officer at the same station. Now, they're all trying to honor a fallen comrade, someone who died because of depression. The husband in this couple, a now retired leading senior constable, is now being jailed for 5 years on Tuesday after the rape and sexual assault of the junior officer at this fucking event.
Vinny, this story is all over the place. I'm glad you're explaining it to me because I read it twice and I went, I don't get.
I really had to work on this.
Yeah.
The jury found that the retired officer, who was 41 at the time, had worked at the local highway patrol for 15 years. And during this time, he had been forcing this junior officer to touch his dick and do things with him at his house.
Right. Okay. That part I understood. Yes. But then it gets crazy.
Yes. The night of this event, the junior colleague, a series of sexual messages, including urging her to go back outside for a, quote, three-way with his wife. She was at her house sleeping when he appeared in the doorway of her home, inside of her house.
Yes.
She got up. She pushed him out of the room and told him to pull his head out of his ass. Instead, he pushed and pulled her and sexually assaulted her while she panicked and felt herself go vacant. Then he raped her. She broke free, went back into the bedroom where she tried to wake up her partner, who was also there.
This is what I'm saying. Her boyfriend slept through her getting raped in the house?
Yeah.
What? None of this doesn't make any fucking sense at all to me.
Well, this guy's getting only 5 years for this, so it didn't make a, it made some sense to somebody. And either way, this fucking story is poorly written, but yeah, there is a cop who was raping the junior cop, okay, and that's not good, and you shouldn't do it.
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
That's against the law in Australia.
I'm tapping. Fuck this story.
Dude, I, when you said that over, I'm like, there isn't a better story than this, but I don't even understand what's going on here.
All right, well, how about I try to close strong?
Yeah, let's go to Florida.
Florida, Florida, you got to get your shit together. Why so many creepy bugs? What the hell is going on?
All right, my favorite comment of the day goes to someone who's very upset with me right now. Severus Branduso. I asked Bill Clinton if 9/11 was real, and he said it was on TV, wasn't it? It's fucking funny.
Good answer.
All right. A Florida couple have been arrested, Carl, after they met a man on social media, beat him, robbed him, cut his throat, and tossed him off a bridge into the Escambia River.
So they killed him?
No.
Oh.
Because here's the deal.
People suck at murder.
Yeah. People are bad at murdering these days.
These people are really bad at murder.
According to the arrest report, the victim was 31 years old. He went to a cookout with this alleged person who was going to be his date. That's when things got ugly after they left. They hit the man several times, telling him he was going to die. The sheriff's office said they took his shoes, phone, money, and car. Now, the woman is Natalie Fonseca. She's 25. And then the partner was the uncle, Nafs Reynolds. I'm sorry. They said they took turns trying to cut his throat before throwing him over the bridge.
Why are they taking turns cutting his throat? Because they couldn't get one person to do it correctly.
Because they couldn't get it done. So they throw this guy off the bridge after
they
rob him.
No, you try. No, you try. Jesus, how difficult could it be to cut someone's throat?
And this dude survived and swam to shore and found help.
That's insane.
You listen, guys, don't do this. Don't do any of this. But if you do, don't let him, you know, come on. Don't use a butter knife. Court records show that Fonseca was also slapped with drug charges and is being held on an $802,000 bond. Reynolds has a drug paraphernalia charge and an $801,000 bond.
Yeah,
they found the car, by the way, completely on fire. They the guy's Chevy Blazer
stole his
on fire.
Set it on fire.
So stupid.
It really is incredible what you could do on the internet to get convinced people. I mean, they're not going to go down on your miniature horse, but they will go to a cookout with you, and then you can try to kill them and steal all their stuff.
Yeah, it's really a lot of fun.
It is.
So, Carl, that's this week's episode of The Creep Off. Thank you for joining us. We are going to be back on Friday, and because Friday is the first Friday of the month, you know what that means, buddy?
Does that mean Thunder in Paradise?
It fucking does.
We just inducted Ezra Miller into the Creep Off Hall of Fame, so if you're on our Patreon backed by or Supercast, you can watch or listen to that episode. Ezra Miller is a creep.
I'm really happy with the feedback on that episode. People think it was pretty good.
Oh, good.
I thought it was too. We got a lot of
tough
information.
Time with that story. That's another one. It's all over the place. The guy is creeping on children nonstop.
And he's showing up at weird places. He's in somebody's living room in Ohio, hitting a mom over the head with a chair.
He's in
Hawaii
yelling at these people who invite him into his home. He's just a pest.
He is a fucking pest
problem.
Go listen to that, you'll enjoy it.
But yeah, so Thunder in Paradise is Friday. You know who always asks me if we're doing Thunder in Paradise? It's producer Chris.
Producer Chris is welcome. All right. The first Friday of every month.
Very good.
Always welcome.
All right,
folks,
we have a couple of super chats that did come in.
Let's
since we read the last batch. Oh, maybe it's just this one. Dang Lizard 2 euros said, did Carl's wife take her club from his foot? That's line of the day, sir. Congratulations. Line of the day.
Dang, Lizard. That's pretty good. That was pretty good. All right. I'm out of here. You guys have been great. I'll see you for Subreddit Surfing tonight at 8 o'clock on the Subreddit Surfing channel. And we'll be on Hack the Movies, supposedly, on their Twitch stream tonight. We are going to be watching the scariest shit we could find on Reddit.
our first Halloween special for Subreddit Surfing. Hope you'll join us for that.
Excellent.
And we'll see you Friday. Remember, Carl, it's nice to be important.
It's more important to be nice.
Shit. Good gear.
It's the Creep Off.